Okay, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name for this day. And Lord, the day that you have given unto us. We love you, we praise you, Lord, that we've gathered together. And the first request, Father, is for the storms that are coming. We pray even now, Lord, you're the one who stills the waves. Nothing is too difficult for you. We welcome the rain, Father, but we prefer not to have any damage. And Lord, so protect this county that we live in. All counties, Lord. And Father, we lift up those who are so ill this morning with that stomach flu that's going through the church, Lord, for Danielle, just blessing her, being with her, Lord. And we pray over Carol and James, Lord, and all the rest of the people that we are praying for, Eleanor, just touching their bodies. Now bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning as we continue our study in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 12. And let me read to you these verses. We've covered the first two, but I want to read them anyway. Paul writing there, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think how? Soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. We, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And the church says, amen. Now listen carefully. This message is so important. It's important to me, but it's so important to you as well. And it's important to God. You know, I want to talk to you this morning about thinking the right way, about having that right thinking in your heart. You know, we've learned from last Sunday, you know, now that we finished the first 11 chapters, we know our position in Christ. Now, beginning in chapter 12, Paul says, now walk out your position that you have in Christ. In other words, put it into practice. And so, you know, we've learned that the only acceptable worship in the New Testament that God receives is that when you present ourselves, yourself, to him as a living sacrifice unto God. Amen? Boy, that is so vital that we do that. Now listen, if we are a believer and this has not occurred, in other words, we have not obeyed verse 1 and verse 2 of Romans 12, then there's no way that you can go into verse 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way. You can't do it because it requires you to present yourself on the altar to God and say, Lord, here I am. Do with me whatever you desire to do. We've also learned that if you're not renewing your mind to the word of God, then you haven't presented yourself as a living sacrifice to God at all. You see, the reason I say that is the only way that we can be transformed is by the renewing of our mind, meaning the word of God. If not, we're going to be conformed to the world that we live in. And if we don't do that, if we haven't renewed our mind, if we haven't presented our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, we will never, ever be able to obey Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul uses the same word, beseech, as he did in verse 1 of chapter 12, where he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you walk worthy of your calling, meaning your heavenly calling. God, we're saved, amen? Now listen, the word worthy is a picture of a set of scales and where you balance things out, okay? So it means you're equal in doctrine, you're equal in practice. You are a hearer of God's word, and then you are a doer of God's word, amen? Listen, spiritual maturity is never, ever based on what you know. Never. Spiritual maturity is based on what you do. for the Lord. Now, right thinking is vital in the verses that are following. Because, see, we're going to learn that if we have not presented ourselves as a living sacrifice, well, number one, that's a bad thing. But there is no way that we can be inactive in the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Be inactive in the body of Christ and say that we've presented ourselves as a living sacrifice. You are the most unique, gifted people in all of the universe. There's no one like you. And God has gifted each and every one of you. And I tell you, you have so much that is needed, not just for this body, but for those that are hurting in this world. You're their answer because you're the hands of the Lord, the mouth of the Lord on this planet that's dying. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, let's look right now at verse 3, and let's make sure we're going to be thinking right today. It says, Paul says, now listen, I say through the grace, that undeserved favor, that unmerited favor of God, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, there comes that word, not to think of himself more highly, and let me add to Scripture, or less highly, okay, than he ought to think. But to think soberly as God, not your ability, God, our Father, has dwelt or dealt or distributed or divided among us or to each one a measure of faith. Did you see the word think that's repeated there three times? Now listen carefully. Only right thinking will help you to discover the gift that God has given you. Only you have to know you have a gift. You have to know that it's already been given to you. And it tells us because of that, it's so easy to get puffed up when God is using us, isn't it? You know, oh, how many people did you lead to the Lord? Well, I have card 45 on my gun this week, you know, my handle, you know. Do you understand what I mean? No, listen, he says, no, don't, whatever you do, you don't understand, he says. Don't think more highly. That word only found here in the New Testament means to be overproud. Don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Now listen, we should think soberly. That's what it says. Amen? Okay, to think soberly means that to be in your right mind. Okay? In Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 15, remember when Jesus cast that demon out of the guy, you know, and whatnot? And it says, and we found him in his right mind. That's the same word here. Now listen, how important is the verse that I just quoted here in verse 3? Let me tell you, it's all about self. It's all about us, okay? Listen, pride, you know, being puffed up about whatever God is doing in your life. Listen, pride is treated here as a form of insanity. You're not in your right mind. Just like the guy that was demon-possessed. No, someone put it this way, nothing is more to me than myself. It's all about me. Look what I can do. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know it's going to sound crazy, and please don't be offended, but, you know, sometimes I listen, you know, K-Love? You're religious, aren't you? This side, you're with me, aren't you? That's the oldie-goldie station. You know what I'm saying? I like the oldie-oldie-goldies. Anyway, do y'all remember the Stylistics? You probably don't. They're from the 60s, man. They were from Philadelphia. They were an incredible group. And, you know, they came on, they were singing this song, you know, you are everything. Everything is you. Whoa. Yeah, you got it? Now, you know, when I heard that song, I didn't really do that, but when I heard that song, you know what I thought of? I thought of the church. You know, that really, I'm sorry, that's just the truth. In other words, you are everything. Everything is you. Huh? No, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Amen? And so Paul says, boy, don't do that. Don't do that. See, only a renewed mind, only by getting God's word, will you truly have a proper attitude about who you really are. In other words, instead of an exaggerated opinion of who you really think you are, all that we have, everything we have, God has given us. Everything. You know, listen, if you're a young believer, and I hope this is not you if you're an older believer, if you are a younger believer, listen to me. Listen to the old guy. Do not spend the rest of your life trying to believe John 15:5. Jesus said something, and he meant what he said. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. If you go to the dictionary and look up the word nothing, you know what it means? Nothing. Nothing. You can't. In other words, well, Bill, that's how you got to be kidding me. People do great things. Yes, they do, but they don't do them for God. I mean, you can start have orphanages and everything else. But the thing is, only what you do for Jesus will have eternal significance in this world that is passing away. Amen? So listen, everything that I have, everything that you have, it's all by God's grace. And listen, God doesn't give you a gift. God doesn't give you faith to magnify yourself. He doesn't do that. God gets the glory. We don't deserve the glory. Amen? No, listen, you know, look at the Apostle Paul. Paul, he cast out devils. He raised the dead. He was called up into the third heaven. In other words, he went to heaven, saw things that were unlawful for him to even speak. What did Paul call himself? He said, number one, he said, listen, I'm the least of all the apostles. 2 years before his death, you know what Paul said? I'm the chief of all sinners. Matter of fact, in verse 3, I want you to catch something. Paul, one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth, level one, listen to me now. Did you notice that verse 3 didn't start off by saying, I'm an apostle? Nothing. He could have. I'm a bondservant of Christ. He didn't say that either. How did he start off verse 3? Look at it again. He says, for I say through my own knowledge, my own strength. No. Through the grace given to me. It's all about grace. Unmerited favor, God working in our hearts. If you think otherwise, then you're not thinking right. It's wrong thinking. If you go through the scriptures and just look at some of the things Paul said about the grace that was given to him. Let me give you a few. Romans 1:5, it says, through him we have received grace and apostleship. This is a good one. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, Paul said, for me to live is Paul. No, for me to live is Christ. He goes on and he says, and his grace toward me was not in vain. It didn't come up empty-handed. Oh, no, his grace was so powerful in my life, Paul says. He says, oh, and I labored more abundantly than everyone else. Listen to what he says. But not me, not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So what is Paul teaching us before we ever get into any of the gifts that are listed, the seven gifts that are listed here? He's saying, listen, don't ever boast about the gift that God has given you. In other words, you know, where you're magnified. That's not what it's about. We are to glorify and magnify the one who died upon the cross for us. Amen? The one who saved us. He's the one who's worthy. And that's the way we should be. Listen, right thinking literally says here, God has given to each one a measure of what? Faith, not knowledge. I'm giving you knowledge. No. A measure of faith. That's not great faith. That's not little faith. No. What is he saying? It means that God, whenever the Holy Spirit gave you the gift, when you were born again, you received at least one gift, supernatural gift. Now listen, that measure that you have been given, that faith, it means that God gave you the exact right amount of faith to operate the gift that he has given unto you. Does that make sense? So what does that mean? It means we are totally without excuse if we're not walking, discovering the gift that God has placed in our life. We're without excuse. You are so vitally needed on this planet, in this city. You're needed because you have something special that God has placed in you for the body of Christ, but also for the ones that are out there that are lost. And if you don't discover your gift, that means those that are hurting, those that need you, that need your gift, you've hidden it. You've hidden it away. God says, no, I gave it to you to help other people. Amen? Now, look at verse 4. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same what? Function. That talking about our body, our human body first. He's saying, you know, in other words, we all have a function, but not of us all have the same function, okay? He says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now listen, let's talk about our bodies for a moment. You know, this morning, or never mind, last night, next year, whatever, I don't know. Listen, my body, thank God, is one single unit, correct? Yes. Okay, but inside this one single unit as a body, there are many, many, many different parts, and every part is necessary. I don't want to lose any of them. Do you? No, you know, and I mean, I'm thankful that right now I can move and I don't even think I can walk and look out here. And I mean, it's just natural to do so. But everything, my brain is working, believe it or not. You know, my blood is flowing through my body. My eyesight is pretty well right now. I can see a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? I'm breathing normally. Thank God for that. So, and everything that I have, they're all working together as one to do something, to serve my body. You know, my breakfast that I had this morning is being digested right now. Now, that could not be the Holy Spirit. No, but you understand what I'm saying. It's working. Things that I don't even know about. There's words that I couldn't even pronounce some of the parts of my body, but they're all working. And not only that, my body that I live in and the body that you live in has one single will. Amen? We're all working together. I mean, my body, I don't wake up in the morning and my body says, I'm against you today. Let's pull a trick on Bill. Let the legs stop working. No. I mean, you know, can you imagine if my right eye, you know, and my left eye, they were in disagreement? I mean, you know, like my right eye said, I don't see things the way you do, buddy. You know what I'm saying? No. Listen, everything is flowing and working together in unity. You see, my body has a will, and the body of Christ has a will, but it's not your will. It's the will of the head of the church, Jesus our Lord, and we are his body. Now, right thinking, believer, now listen to me. You have to be thinking right now to understand these words. You have a function, right? Look what it says. What does it say? It says, but all do not have the same function, each one of you have a function in the body of Christ. Now listen, you exist to serve the body of Christ. The body of Christ doesn't exist to serve you. Let me say it again. You are a member of the body of Christ. And you exist. You're born from above. You're a new creation in Christ. You're a purchased possession. You no longer belong to yourself. You have the Holy Spirit of God. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And you have a divine supernatural gift residing in you. You now exist to serve the body, not the body to take care and wait upon you. Does that make sense? Oh, loved one, that is vital. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:16. Let me set that up. You remember that it says that Jesus, when he ascended, that he gave gifts unto men. Remember when he ascended, he emptied paradise, went back to heaven. It says that, you know, he gave gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, pastor, teachers, evangelists, all of that. He measured it out exactly what they needed. And then it says in verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together from what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part, meaning each one of you, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So the body grows and is built up as we love one another. Now listen. If we're going to have right thinking, it says everyone does its share. What does that mean? It means that you have to carry your own weight in the body of Christ. In other words, your gifting that God has given to you. Every part does its share. If we bring it down to just simple, where we don't have to be confused. In other words, before you arrived here this morning, there were people. They turned on the lights. They made sure the heating was working. Do you understand? Everybody's doing their job. And not only that, then the sound team shows up and the media booth, and they're getting everything set. They're getting all the computers turned on. They're making sure the lighting and all. And then the makeup lady who finishes me before I come out. All the things that happen before. Do you understand what I mean? Everybody has a job. Everybody does their share. Listen to me. Inactive believers in the body of Christ make the body of Christ dysfunctional. It means you're connected to the body, but you're just living off other people. You're just there, but you're not doing anything. I'm not beating you up. I'm telling you the truth in Christ. Amen? Listen, you are so vital. You are so needed. Why in the world would God give you a gift if he didn't want you to use it? He doesn't want you to take your light and put it underneath a bushel so no one can see. No, God wants to use you. Listen, true unity in the body of Christ takes place when every member participates. They do whatever God has called them to do. You are vital. It's just like this. You know, do you remember years ago the radios? And even though they had power to the electricity of the older ones, you know, they had 1,000 parts in them, but they also had something else. You know that little fuse that they had? Remember how you unscrew it and pull it out and then, oh, it's burn up and you put it back in? Remember? Did you, listen, you, all the parts of the radio, perfect, not a problem. But it becomes dysfunctional because of one piece, just one little fuse. You know what? You may be the fuse that ignites this body to where we finally start functioning the way God intended it to function. You know, a lot of people blame the church. You know, oh, I don't like the church. It wasn't in the worship or the pastor or the Sunday school or the, you know what I mean. Well, are you part of the body? Are you doing something? You see, when we're all firing on all cylinders, man, we are a mean machine. Do you see what I'm saying? But then we start being what Christ intended us to be on this planet when his body is doing what he's commanded them to do using the giftings that he has given unto you. Now, with all that being said, look at verse 6. Having then gifts, that means gifts, charismata, the gifts from the Holy Spirit. You haven't learned it, you haven't earned it, or any of those things. It's a gift. It says, having gifts, different kinds of gifts, according to the what? Grace. It's not our ability, it's grace that is given to us, not by our deep prayer life or our deep spirituality. No, no, no. He says, you've been given all this, and what are we to do with them? Let us what? Use them. Use what God has given. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion of our faith. Right thinking. Now let's think right this moment. Right thinking says it's time to activate your gifts. You know, there are only about 7, I believe, gifts that are listed here. 1 Corinthians 12 and chapter 14, they list other gifts. And then, of course, Ephesians chapter 4, there's other giftings there. But there are, I believe, so many gifts that God has given that are not even listed in God's word. And you'll never know unless you start stepping out and experiencing them. These wonderful gifts of the Spirit, okay? All gifts of helps, administrations, wisdom, knowledge, all the gifts that God has given. Now listen. There are many sincere pastors today in seminaries and so forth, and I love them, and they love the Lord. They're going to be in heaven and so forth. But they teach that the gifts of the Spirit, they've all passed away. In other words, when John the Apostle, when he died, everything was over with. So, and if that's the case, now let's learn here. If that's the case, we're talking about now prophecy, the first gift. If the gift of prophecy has passed away, if we want to know our text, read our context, well, in context, that would mean if prophecy's gone, then the following verses with all the gifts that are there, they're gone too. Are you with me? Am I making sense? Yeah, but there's no way. In other words, well, what do you have, Bill? Well, we have God's truth, but we don't have any power. We just, you know, we're dependent upon man-made programs and man leading. No, no, no. Well, we have We have the power of God. Listen, it tells us, it says, listen, it says, what? Let us use them, exercise them. That means that each of us, we have an obligation, and your gift that God has given you is of no value unless you use it. It's no value. It won't help anyone or anything. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit, are they for today? Of course they are. Now, are they abused? Of course they're abused. You know, but we don't abuse anything here, and I know we don't. You know, we're not a fleshly church. We're not trying to magnify ourselves. We want to magnify our Lord. Amen? But we are living in the last days. And what did when Peter was preaching his sermon there in Acts chapter 2, remember what he said in verse 17? Peter said, listen, he's quoting Joel. He says, it will come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That means all mankind, every race, every nation. And it says, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men, they're going to see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And I do, I dream a lot, and I don't know what it means. But, and my men servants, my maid servants, every class of people, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. When was the church birthed? Pentecost. Amen? Okay, we entered the last days on the day of Pentecost. That means that the endowment of power is still available today. It also means that visions and dreams and prophecies and all the rest of it will continue until the last days are over. Are you following me? It's so important to know that. In 1 Corinthians, when Paul is teaching us about the gifts of the Spirit, about prophecy, for example, he says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, pursue love. Make love the quest of your life, in other words. Pursue love and be zealous. Be on fire for spiritual gifts, especially that ye may prophesy. And then in verse 3 of chapter 14 of Corinthians, he says, and he who prophesies speaks three things. Watch this now, or listen. He speaks edification, he speaks exhortation, and he speaks comfort to men. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, it tells us, do not despise prophecies. It says, it goes on, it says, test all things, but don't despise prophecies. Listen, prophecy is not a rebuke, okay? Prophecy does something. It builds up, it stirs up, and it comforts those other people that are hurting or whatever, amen? You get a word from God, a good word. Oh, like it says in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like golden apples being poured from a silver chalice. Man, sometimes to get a word from God, And no one knows what you're going through, and somebody, and they prophesy to you, and they're not making a show out of it, and they give you that word, does it change your life? Yeah. Oh, man, listen, it'll change your life. It'll help you. Why? It encourages you. It exhorts you. It stirs you up. It brings comfort to your life. And there are those today, and they love the Lord. They're great teachers. They're wonderful pastors, wonderful seminaries. But they teach today, since the gifts have passed away, that this word prophecy here literally means to just speak forth the word of God or proclaim the word of God like I'm doing right now, teaching. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. You see, prophecy cannot be teaching. You say, well, Bill, how is that? Well, because prophecy requires no preparation. I don't know if I'm going to give a word to somebody. You think I know it? Let me go home and study out. I'm going to give a word to this person. Do I want to tremble when I do it? Or do I want to look real weird, you know? I'm joking. Come on. No, prophecy doesn't require any preparation. You want to get in the pulpit? You better be prepared. You got to study. You got to be rightly divide the word of truth. You have to be a workman. Do you understand? Prophecy works, as it says in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12:11, as the Spirit wills, not as you will, only as the Spirit wills. And the Lord moves upon you to give that prophecy. Now listen, any believer can prophesy. That doesn't mean you're a prophet. We're talking about prophecy right now. You know, if you study out Acts chapter 11, I think it's, I don't know, It's Acts chapter 11. And if you, and Acts chapter 21, what did Agabus do? Agabus, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him, it says, and he said, he prophesied, listen, a worldwide famine is coming. When Paul, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, here comes Agabus down the road, and he prophesies to him. What does he say? He takes off Paul's belt, wraps it around his arm, and says, listen, thus is the man who goes into Jerusalem. You're going to be bound. You're going to be put in prison. He gave an exact prophecy of the words that it's going to happen. Do you understand? Whenever you study out the Bible, you know, you'll find, like, for Philip's daughters, they're in Acts chapter 21 in verse 9. Remember Philip? He was a great that evangelist. He started out as a table waiter, and then he went from there to an evangelist operating in signs and wonders. He's the one who led the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord there. And when he baptized him, remember what the Holy Spirit did? The Spirit caught him up. And the next thing you know, Philip was found at Azotus. The Bible says that Philip had four daughters that prophesied. If you look in the tense there of that scripture, the verb tense, it means continually operated in the gift of prophecy. Now, you know, the thing is all prophecy works only one way. What does it say there? It says, what was the scripture? Let me look at it. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace it's giving to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our what? There's the key. You have the faith. It's there. There's a proportion that we have. But the problem is that sometimes we're very timid. I'm being honest, very timid. See, prophecy can warn people. Many years ago, right here, I was standing right here on this floor. It was after the service. Matter of fact, I was getting ready to depart. Well, my office then was upstairs. And I was going to go to my office, and a person just passed by me. And instantly, the Lord, by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, but also prophecy, showed me what that person was doing. And it took great faith for me to say to her what I saw. She walked past me. I said, called her by name. I said, may I talk to you for a moment? And I said, please forgive me. And I said, if I am wrong, I said, you have permission to slap me in the face as hard as you want to, because I deserve it. But I said, I saw you at work. I saw you right there at the counter. And I looked behind you, and I described the person that I saw. And I said, you have five children. He's a young man. He is really flirting with you. And you are really enjoying his flirting. If you do not leave that job and get away from that young man, you're going to sin and you're going to destroy your marriage. She looked at me and said, every word you said is true. I prayed with her. The next thing I know, instead of being obedient to what I shared with her, she did get into trouble. It took many months of counseling, and God did restore their marriage, and then they departed from here. We laid hands upon them, and they went into full-time ministry. See, God can clean up and heal and everything, amen? But it's in proportion of your faith. It takes faith to say those things. And sometimes you're going, God, is that you? Is that me? Is that pizza? Do you understand what I mean? No, this is very important because, see, this is how you grow in your faith. This is not about being magnifying yourself or anything. Listen, whenever God uses you in, say, a prophecy to someone, listen to me now, that humbles you. But it really helps them, amen? Because you're so afraid. You know, I've told you this before. I'll never forget the time Becky, all of us, we were there at the dinner, in our house, the dinner table. We're getting ready. We just prayed and asked God to bless our food. And as God is my witness, you can ask my wife, I looked up and the Holy Spirit of God flooded, the presence of God flooded our dining room. And I started trembling. And I said, oh my God, honey. I said, the Lord just showed me. He spoke to my heart. And Becky said, well, what is it? I said, I've never seen such darkness in my life, in our country. And I said, we're getting ready to go to war. I said, something is getting ready to happen that's horrible in this nation. It's so horrible that there's dark. I can't stand the darkness. 1 week later, 9/11 happened. Now, I had the faith to prophesy and share with her, but I did not have the faith to come before you and say, this next week, there's going to be the worst thing imaginable happening to our nation. Do you understand? You see, I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the faith to do it. But see, we move and prophesy. That's how we grow and grow and grow. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He can use us to do anything. Now listen, look now at these giftings, and let's make sure we're right thinking right. Look at the next one. It says here, our ministry, verse 7, let us do something. What? Use it in our ministry. The word ministry there is the word service. We get our English word deacon. It means to serve. It means the gift of helps. It means to come along people and help them, minister to them, and so forth. It's kind of like the Mary and Martha ministry. Remember there in Luke chapter 10, you know, when Jesus said, oh, Martha was so busy serving, she came in there and got all over the Lord, said, Lord, don't you care that I'm in here washing these dishes and cooking your dinner alone? What about Mary? Oh, Martha, Martha. You're troubled about so many things. You know the story. I don't need to go. But listen, you see, we do need to be like Martha, and we do need to be like Mary. We need with our hands to minister and serve the Lord, and yet with our heart, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen? Listen, whatever you've been given, the Bible says, in 2 Corinthians 5:18, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You're an ambassador of Christ. Listen, you are gifted. You're the most special people on this very planet. And oh, God, help us. How about teaching? Look at teaching now. He who teaches in teaching, and this right here, this is referring to where God's word is not only proclaimed, but God's word is explained, okay? Now, this is a supernatural gift. This is not saying I'm a teacher, I can teach math, that's a wonderful thing, or teach English, that's great, great. But listen, this gift is from heaven. This gift is not dependent upon education, okay? You don't have to have your doctorate degree. You don't have to go to seminary. That's not, none of those things. This gift is not dependent upon education. Now listen to me, never. If you say God's called you to the ministry, but here you're sitting here right now and you're saying to yourself, yes, I believe God's called me, but I just don't have what it takes. I think he's called me maybe to start plant a church or be a pastor or whatever. Listen, you don't need a seminary degree. I'm very pro Bible education. I'm very pro education, but you don't have to have a degree if God has given you that gift. Do you understand? Don't ever, ever, ever let that stop you. Don't ever let that stop you. Boy, God will do great things for you. Why? He's given you a supernatural gift. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, what did the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other people, when they looked at Peter, John, and James, they looked at them and they knew that they were uneducated and untrained men, but they realized that they had been with Jesus. Listen, all you need is what God has given unto you. You never know. You could be the next Billy Graham. You might be the next D.L. Moody, who I consider to be the greatest evangelist that ever lived in all time. Incredible man of God. He didn't even have an eighth grade education. He was a shoe salesman. You know what? They wouldn't even let him preach in the church. You know what he did? He said, well, can I rent pews? They said, what? Yeah, can I rent the first three pews? Why? Because I'm going to go bring people. I'm going to win them to the Lord, and I'm going to fill up those pews. You know what he did? That's what he did. He would never go home. He would never retire unless he had shared or led someone to Christ during that day. Why? He was an evangelist. They made fun of the way he talked. but God had gifted him and used him mightily. That's what it's all about, loved one, is the giftings that God has put up in us. Look at this one now in verse 8. This is great. He who exhorts in exhortation, that the Greek word parakaleo, it means to come along the side of someone. For what? To encourage them, to help them, to when they're hurting. See, listen, how wrong it is if you have that gift and I'm over here and I'm hurting. Do you understand? And God says, oh, this person, he needs to be exhorted, and I put the gift of exhortation in you, and you're not over there doing your job. But you see it. You know it. You even feel it. You see it upon their face. Do you understand? And there they are right there. And they're so wounded. They're so broken. They believe God will never use them, will never forgive them. They need someone to parakaleo, come alongside of them, put their arm around them and say, hey, you look like you're going through something. Let's talk. I have a gift. You don't have to say that, but you have a gift. And then you know what happens? It starts igniting in you. And you start saying things to that person and you're going, it's not me talking. Come on. You know it. It's not you, but you know it's the Holy Spirit. And you know that you're saying the exact right words to give to that individual. And then you see the countenance change. You see their eyes start changing. You see a smile and the burden starting to be lifted. That is a great gift that's needed today. Oh, don't hide that gift. Listen, what would have happened when Barnabas, remember when Paul and Barnabas and Mark, they got into that, Paul got upset with Mark because they were on their first missionary journey, and Mark said, I'm going home, man, and he left, went back to mama. You know the story. And boy, the contention between Barnabas and Paul became so divisive. What happened? They split up. And Barnabas, what did he do? He went to get Mark. Remember his name? Son of consolation, Barnabas, son of consolation, son of encouragement. He went, put his arm around Mark. Later on, what did Paul do when he was in prison? He said, hey, send Mark. He's useful for my ministry. You see, exhortation is so needed. You know, if we would only be others-centered, where we look out there, and we see the hurt in someone where it hurts us. Why? We're the body. If one member suffers, we all suffer. You see, exhortation is a great, great gift. If you have that gift and you're not using it, you are not thinking right. You have wrong thinking. Look at this next one. It says, he who gives with what? Liberality. Man. He who gives with liberality. If any of the gifts in the church have passed away, it's this one. Come on. Oh, yeah. Listen, this gift is incredible. This gift, this is a person who gives no motive. They don't want anything. They don't even want thanks. Most of the time, they don't even want the person to know. You know, in all of my life, But let's just say, in all the time I've been in the church, I've only met two people who have this gift. And I admire them and love them and respect them like you cannot believe. One of them, she's gone now. One of the greatest women I have ever known. I loved her. She loved God. I cannot tell you how many times that she would send me, say, Bill, take this envelope and go take it to such and such a house, such and such a person. I'd take it and it'd be full of cash to help them. I can't tell you how many times that surgery for someone, they didn't have, couldn't pay it in the hospital. She said, Bill, we've got to go help that person. She's take this check down to JPS right now, or take this check down to Harris Hospital. Take it right this minute. Unbelievable. I watched that. I had the honor of being to bury her funeral. You know what she put on her tombstone? Love never fails. And the other person that I know who's an incredible, has this gift, they actually belong to this church. Never met people quite like that. They would never let you know who they are. Oh, what an incredible, incredible gift. Look at the next one. He who leads with what? Diligence. That means eagerness. Do you have that gift? The word leads there means to literally to be in front of people. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm in front of you. I'm the pastor, for example. You may not like that, but I am. That's the way it is. You know, don't let it get out either. Now, do you understand? I stand in front. But see, I want you all united. I want us one man with one heart, with one cause and one purpose. Amen? That's what we're to do. Oh, and I look and I say, Lord, man, you know what the Bible says about those who lead? The word lead means rule, but that doesn't mean leaders are not rulers, they're servants, okay? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:7 tells us to do something about those who stand in front of you. It says, remember, that means don't forget, remember those who lead or rule over you. Tend to the sheep, that love the sheep, that feed the sheep. He says, those who have spoken the word of God to you. Here's the word of God. It says, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule, same word, means to lead, who lead over you, and be submissive. That's talking about you guys. Impossible. No. Now listen, why? Here's why. For they, meaning pastors, they watch out for your souls. Did you know? Listen, I know there's some crummy pastors, but I'll tell you something. 99.9% of the pastors, they love the sheep. They, you know, they're good people, meaning that they care for what they do. They want to be a good shepherd. They want to fulfill what God has called them to do. It says, oh, they watch out for your souls. He says, and listen, as those who must give an account. I have to give an account of my pastor to the Lord. Now listen carefully. Let them, that's you guys, let pastors do so with joy, not with grief. Huh? Let me read it again. You didn't get it. You're not thinking right. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. Why? Well, that would be unprofitable to you. I'll let you interpret that scripture for yourself. Now, right thinking. It says in the next one, look at it. He who shows mercy, and look how he does it, with what? With cheerfulness. Listen, that's that right thinking. This gift, the gift of mercy, is not, oh, have mercy on him, God. No. It's not, I feel sorry for you. That's nonsense. Mercy means, oh, I see it. Now I'm going to do something about it. You see, the foundational scripture, for example, the charity, Love Never Fails International, Proverbs 19:17. He who hath pity, mercy, he who has pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what has been given. That word pity is not sympathy. Oh, I feel sorry for you. No, it means this. I see it, and now I'm going to do something about it. Do you understand? Yeah, that's so important today. We need that today. Mercy is an action. God says, that's what I want. You're a merciful people. That's a gift. You know, this is not a good example, but, you know, 2 weeks ago, man, I went outside and I thought, am I hearing a cat? You know, a cat? And I couldn't see it, but I could hear it. And so Becky was, man, she makes this kielbasa, you know, cabbage and sausage. And, oh, man, I mean, so the cat was smelling it. So the next thing I knew, you know, the screen door was open, and there was this cat. Man, I looked at that cat. He was cut to pieces. I mean, and his back was wide open, and oh, it was horrible. He was starving to death. His ears had been chewed off nearly. I mean, it was terrible. Well, see, mercy would say, well, you're a cat. I feel sorry for you. You know, you're hungry? Well, you know what I did? What any person would do, I went out there and I made him a bed, got him, and I gave him all that kielbasa sausage. The skin, you know what I mean? He ate all of that. Then he ate nearly a whole chicken. Then he passed out. And then we started doctoring. Am I talking too much? Doctoring him up. You know what I mean? Now he's getting better. He's gained weight. Sits in my lap. Why? I showed mercy. Do you understand? I did something about that's what mercy does. And I'm sorry, it's a poor example. Let's keep going. Now, I know I've got to finish because it's time. Okay, quickly. Right thinking understands, believes, and acts upon the biblical fact that spiritual gifts that God has given unto you are not optional. 1 Peter 4:10, let me read it. As each one of you has received, that means you didn't earn it, received a gift, a spiritual gift, minister or serve with it or use it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Everyone, every believer, if you don't have a spiritual gift, you are not born from above. Do you understand? Okay, you have the gift. Whatever God has given to you. And it tells us here, this spiritual gift, that we didn't earn it, we didn't work for it, we didn't go to Bible college to get it. No, not at all. It says you have it. It's been given from you from heaven. And you know what? You are a steward. A steward is someone who takes care of another's property, meaning that you will give an account of your gifting if you did not use it in this lifetime. Oh, listen. No other part of my human body can do what my right hand does. Do you understand? It's desperately needed. Gentlemen, have you ever tried, if you're right-handed, have you ever tried to shave with your left hand? It's a catastrophe, isn't it? I don't mean those sissy electric shavers. No, I mean when you got the blade, you know, the blade. Yeah. Oh, listen, I can't do that. And you know, it's like I told the first service, I said, I don't know what's going on in my life, but you know, my right hand starts, it just shakes a lot now. And I hate that, but it does. Have you, man, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever, you know, you want to shave by your nose, but your hand's going like that and that razor's just. Listen, I pray in the spirit when I do that, you know, because I try to slow it down and all that. Never mind. What happens if you don't do your gift? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you. What would have happened had my pastor, Pastor Chuck, what would have happened had he not used the gift that God had given him? There would have been no Jesus movement, or it wouldn't have been by Pastor Chuck. That, you know, that's the movement I was saved in the hippie days, remember? Oh, listen, no, you know, it's so important. The spiritual gift that you have and you don't exercise is not going to help anyone at all. And here's the problem. I pray you don't leave here today and say, well, okay, I got a gift. I don't know. Listen to me. Some of you are sitting here right now. Now, you know you have a gift, but maybe you don't know what it is, but you're passively waiting for God to do something and say, okay, there it is. No. Listen, that's wrong thinking. Right thinking says, I'm no longer going to be a spectator. I am going to be a participator and step out doing something in order to find my gift and what God has called me to. Now listen, and then the moment you step into that, that is when you will change lives of other people. That's when you will start encouraging other people. And one last thing, listen, this is the most important thing about right thinking. If you don't operate in love concerning your spiritual gifts, then they are worthless. Do you understand? They're worthless. You know, remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1? He says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but if I have not love, listen to what he says, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In other words, all I do is make a bunch of noise. No, I can pray in all kinds of the spirit tongue. It doesn't matter. He goes on, he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand every mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all kinds of faith, miracle-working power, faith, so that I could remove mountains, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. Look it up in the Amplified. I'm a useless nobody. Listen, love is the energy behind the gifts. That's how mercy works. Why? The love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given unto you. The gifts that God has given you, the gifts of help, all the gifts, the administration, whatever that God has given. Listen to me now. You know what trouble, I know I'm keeping you late, but it's all right. Do you know what troubled me? You know why I became a Calvary Chapel pastor? One of the reasons. Thank you. It was because the movement that I was in based maturity and success on gifts rather than the fruit. In other words, what do I mean by that? You see, fruit shows my maturity. The fruit of the Spirit is, okay, it shows my maturity. Fruit in my life. Glory to glory. Fruit in my life shows I'm growing up. But you see, the gifts of the Spirit, no, listen, the gifts show my ministry. Do you understand? That's what God's called me to do. And gifts are never, ever, I don't care if a person can lay hands on the sick and they jump out of a wheelchair. That is not a sign that that person is mature. That is not a sign that that person has any depth of character at all. It is always love. It is always the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. That is how a person is grows. Now listen, in order for this church to go wherever it's going, while I'm here and after I'm gone, you got to get connected. You have to get committed. You have to be a working part of the body. Every person has to do their share. In order for us to go like Joshua, remember what God told Joshua? He said, listen, Joshua, in Joshua 3, he said, you're going, Joshua, where you've never been before. And everybody was going to go with him. They were going to cross the Jordan. Listen, all of us together, all of us working together, we have to help each other get across this spiritual Jordan, the next spiritual Jordan, and et cetera, et cetera. Amen? In other words, we need one another. And you know what? Don't be left behind. Let's cross over into whatever God has for us and do so together. That's what it's all about. Imagine Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth. Everybody is participating. Everybody's doing their gifting. And we're all walking in agreement with the head of the church, Jesus Christ. That's called right thinking. Jesus said something as I close in Matthew 22, 42, I believe it is. Jesus said this. He said, what do you think? What do you think, he said, about Christ? Who is he? Whose son is he? Loved one, listen to me. If you don't know Jesus, there's only one way to have right thinking, and that's to receive Christ if he's not your Lord. If not, that's called wrong thinking. Father, we praise you. We thank you for this place called Calvary Chapel. We thank you that every person connected and committed here is a living sacrifice. We're so thankful, God, that you have given us a divine supernatural gift and you've given us the measure of faith to operate that gift. And Lord, I thank you that we are growing. We're growing from glory to glory. Lord, let every person, Lord, that calls your name, let them participate in the body. Let them be aware if they operate in exhortation or that mercy or whatever it might be. Let them feel and sense the pain of others and let their gifting come alive where they walk over to that person, Father, and they bring help in time of need because of the gift you've given them. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. God.